Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld for Stonewall Live, the best in gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, my guest is Alex Sanchez, author of quite a few young adult novels, all of them award-winning. I'm just going to get right into it and introduce Alex. Alex, say hello.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Alex, tell us where you are right now.
Right now, I'm in Bangkok, Thailand.
Amazing powers of radio. Alex, you have written about gay teens, gay Christian teens, teens on probation, teens in angst. Your new book is on bisexual teens, Hispanic teens. I forgot that one. There's a couple of them on that. What have you not written on with gay teens?
Okay, what have I not written on? I don't know. There's so many stories. Part of what I love about what I do is there's just so many, you know, new exciting stories. You know, I hear about when I used to be a counselor, so I've gotten a lot of my ideas from there when I was youth and family counselor. But now I visit and speak at schools, and I get emails from teens, and just all these issues going on in terms of gender and sexuality. And, you know, recently, for example, I get a lot of emails from teens telling me like, well, I like guys, but I also like girls. So what does that make me? And I don't want to put a label on myself. So that was a lot of inspiration for the new book. In terms of, you know, Hispanic and Latino teens, that came from my first book, Rainbow Boys, where, you know, it focuses on three teenage boys who all go to the same school. They all live in the same community. So I was trying to figure out how to make each of them different. And so I'm a Latino from a German-Mexican dad and a Cuban mom. So I thought, well, I'll make one of the boys Latino. And then I started getting so many emails from Latino teens telling me, yeah, how validating that was for them to actually see someone like them. There's someone like me that I can read about. And so I started, you know, writing more about the Latino teens. So I guess ultimately, you know, so much of the power that books can have is, especially when you're young and isolated, and all of a sudden we're reading about someone that it's like holding up a mirror and saying, oh my gosh, there's someone else out there like me. So, you know, I hear all these stories about the choices that young people today can make in terms of being who they want to be, and that just gives me so many exciting inspirations for the things to write about. So it's hard to say what have I not written about, because there's so many new stories that I hear about every day. It's part of what keeps me excited about what I do.
Exactly, and I've been reading on your blog and on your website and on your Facebook page, and I have a couple of times I've seen kids where they've said, you know, Alex, you saved my life. You were the only thing that I could hold on to in high school. You were like the original Dan Savage, because you've been around. The first book's almost 10 years old. Is that right?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
The first book was almost 10 years ago. Is that right?
Right, it was almost 10 years ago. Rainbow Boys came out in September 2001, right after 9/11, like right around the same time as 9/11. I remember going to the bookstore. I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, going into the gay and lesbian bookstore there, Lambda Rising. And if you remember 2001, that was a time when it's like, so many of us, I was so scared about what happened in 9/11, and I remember going to the bookstore, and there was a stack of Rainbow Boys, and I'm just like just wanting to like take the books and protect them from the terrorists, you know, in the midst of the hysteria that was going on then.
Right. Let me get the listeners a little caught up on. There's Rainbow Boys, Rainbow Road, Rainbow Boys, Rainbow High, and Rainbow Road. I got them in order, right? And it follows three very, very charming young men through life for about 7 or 8 years. Is that right? I think I can't remember how many years, but it follows them through the coming out years, the living with dating years, and then the getting into adulthood years. It's an incredible trilogy. I recommend it highly to any young teen, to any young person, to people who are trying to understand a young gay and lesbian person in their family. It really was a moving trilogy, and then of course. The books that followed were even better. I'm just hats off to you, Alex, on this. I want to ask you about another book you wrote called Bait. One of the more interesting books that I think I've ever read. Tell us what was the background for Bait.
Well, like a lot of my writing, the way my writing works is that I sort of combine my own experiences together with stories that I hear from other people about their lives, and in the power of the imagination, in terms of fiction, it comes together as a story. So Bait is the story about an angry young man who punches out a gay boy at school, and so he's taken to court, and he is matched up with a probation officer there who then tries to figure out what's making this young man so angry. So as I say, it derives from both my own experiences growing up and then my own working as a counselor as a probation officer. I worked as a probation officer for 3 years.
Wow, that's interesting. Fascinating. That's great work. Yeah, it was an interesting novel. Yes. Your book, Getting It, came out. It's a book. We'll ask you about it later. But that's the book that I think would make the most hysterical comedy of all your books. I mean, some of your books are funny, but I think Getting It was hilarious. Could you tell us about Getting It?
Sure. Getting It. What happened was that there again, one of the exciting things that's happening is, young people growing up now, they're growing up in an age of Will and Grace, or actually post-Will and Grace now, where they just have so much of a higher comfort level with gay and lesbian issues, either because they have gay or lesbian friends or relatives or parents. And it can still be very hard for some young people growing up gay or lesbian, and I don't want to minimize that. But in general, young people today are much more comfortable with the issues. So I started hearing from straight teenage boys telling me they were enjoying my books. And so I decided to write a story about the friendship between a gay boy and a straight boy. Mm-hmm. But what happens is I can't actually start working on the story until I actually know, well, what would the story be? So I knew I wanted to write a story about friendship, but I wasn't sure what the story would be. So this was not too long after my first books had started coming out, so maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, and this TV show came out, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, where these, I think it was 5 gay guys give a straight guy a makeover. Mm-hmm. And what I found really exciting about that show was the friendship and the bonding that ended up occurring between the straight guy and the gay guys. And I mm-hmm. thought that would be a terrific story for teenage boys about the friendship that evolves between a gay boy and a straight boy, a queer eye for the straight teenage boy. So yeah. that's how Getting It came about.
Except there's an interesting twist in there. What does he want in return? What does the gay guy want in return?
Well, what the gay guy wants in return is help with starting the Gay Straight Alliance at school.
Exactly. What a great carrot and a stick. I'm very big on Gay Straight Alliances right now. Okay.
Well, one of the things you probably experienced with your visits to Gay Straight Alliances is the religious right, tries to portray these alliances as, gay clubs.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you visit them, what you end up discovering is how many of them are actually, the majority are straight teenage girls.
Exactly. And their boyfriends. And their boyfriends. They bring their boyfriends now.
Exactly. More and more straight boys. Right. And again, it's because they have gay or lesbian friends or relatives or parents. They know and care about people who are gay or lesbian.
Exactly.
When I go to school, lots of times I'll ask, you know, especially if I'm doing an assembly with the entire school, and I'll ask them, I'll say, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you know someone who's gay or lesbian? Well, anywhere from 95% to 100% of hands go up.
Right.
And it's
right.
No surprise to the kids. The surprise is to the adults who are looking around and saying, oh, my gosh, we never realized.
Right.
Because lots of times still, you know, administrators or educators, they can still have some nervousness about, well, how are parents going to react if we
right.
talk about these issues? And the reality is like, well, the young people already know people. It's the adults who oftentimes are struggling with issues.
Exactly.
And it's unfortunate young people are looking up to adults for guidance, for leadership.
Exactly. Let me bring the listeners up a little bit about why I go to Gay Straight Alliances, and it's kind of a big pat on the back to Alex. I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archives. We're the largest gay and lesbian library in the United States. We've got a very nice relationship here with the Broward County School District, Broward County, Florida. And I bring in to Gay Straight Alliances books that are approved by the American Library Association, young adult books that are relevant to teens, and they just gobble them up. I get them donated. I bring Alex's books always. I've got some biographies. Some girl mystery novels, and they're wonderful. The best part of my life is going there. It's very, very exhausting, but it's uplifting, and it's true about only about a third to less than half of the kids in there are openly gay, and the rest of them are their teenage girls, and then they bring their boyfriends. So I see a lot of guys in letter jackets that are obviously, you know, and I ask them who's gay and who's not, and they're always the most, it's the most uplifting time of the day, but I do bring Alex's books. They are spread out all over. I think the power of books is amazing. Even in this Kindle, digital, internet age, there is still a hunger to see something like you. Listen, I'm going to start talking about your new book, Boyfriends with Girlfriends, that came out when? When did it come out?
It came out in April, so
okay.
About 2 months ago.
Okay, I knew it's barely new, and I'm going to read the dedication to the whole listening audience. It says, "For those who dare to live label free." That was the start. I really didn't know what it was about. I didn't read the flaps. I just read a little bit. Oh my God, boyfriends, girlfriends. They're probably, you know, some weird thing, and I just said, "Wow," you know, because we're so, even in the gay community. I'm living in a gay ghetto. And we're so easy to label. I know you visited where I live. It's kind of crazy. Tell us a little bit about Boyfriends with Girlfriends.
So what happened was that, you know, I started getting so many emails from, as I mentioned earlier, young people who basically were saying that. It's like, why do I have to put a label on myself? You know, why can't I just be who I am? And you know, I try to answer, you know, all the emails that I get from young people. Sometimes I get behind, but eventually I get to them. And so I write back and say, yeah, you can just be who you are. So I thought, you know, that's an important story to tell, that even though young people, they spend, you know, so much time, well, adults too, you know, in front of a screen, what books provide us is that opportunity to step into a person's interior life, to really experience the world through the eyes of someone else by stepping into their mind, into their heart in depth, something that we can't get from even watching a movie or a video. It's sort of like stepping into their lives. So I decided to write the story about four young people, a boy who very much identifies as gay, always been gay, in the sense of always feeling gay and knowing he was gay and being attracted to boys. another boy who has always liked both boys and girls and who identifies as bisexual, a girl who identifies as lesbian, even though she's closeted at home about it, and then a girl who's had a boyfriend, but she's been curious about girls and is trying to figure out who she is, and does she have to put a label on herself. Mm-hmm. So those are the four characters, and again, one of the boys is Latino, and one of the girls now is Japanese American. So to add more sort of cultural flavor to the mix, right, and to represent more of what America is, okay, as we become more and more a very diverse nation.
No, that's great. And, you know, after a while, after reading the book, when I first started reading the book, I realized it was about, you know, questioning bisexuality, dating a bisexual, the prejudices that the gay community has towards bisexuals, thinking that they're just, it's just on the way to gay, bi is on the way to gay and stuff like that. It's just, you're not out all the way. But then I started reading the book and I realized it is just about getting rid of labels. And it was very good. It was a nice experience. So I wouldn't say it's really about a book about bisexuality, though. That's what it's been labeled as by the critics and the reviewers. The reviewers seem to think that's what the book is about, bisexual teens. And I don't think it is. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a complex thing, because what happens is, on the one hand, it's we want to be ourselves. We want to be true to ourselves. And at the same time, we want to belong to a group. I think there's a human inclination to say, you know, I'm part of something. I'm like this other group of people, to give us that sense of belonging and acceptance. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge of if we can use the term of bisexuality, although I think it's really more sort of the challenge of sexuality, is that it is so fluid. It's sort of like we want to figure out, but who am I? You know, if I think, you know, if we go back to the original Kinsey idea, then most people are somewhere in between being exclusively heterosexual or exclusively homosexual. You know, that at certain points in our lives, you know, we'll have attraction to, you know, either the opposite sex or the same sex, and it's much more fluid than, much more ambiguous than sometimes is easy to handle on a day-to-day basis. So we end up, you know, a lot of times putting a label on ourselves just so that we can sort of get a wrap our hands around, well, who am I? If I want to be committed to this person who, you know, is of this particular gender, well, what I do with these feelings towards the other gender?
Right.
So but I think what's happening is that young people are growing up more comfortable with that ambiguity, because there's less stigma around being gay or lesbian. Again, right. that's a generalization. You know, in some places it's still not safe. It's still not cool to be gay or lesbian. But in general, because of will and grace and more, you know, more social acceptance, you know, just hearing and seeing about, you know, same-sex marriage on the news every night after night after night, it's like, yeah, we're just more comfortable with it.
Right, and I also think it has to do more than Will and Grace. I think that was an important thing, and Ellen DeGeneres and some of the other big names. I think it was just the day-to-day, more and more people coming out, that you had a neighbor that was gay, that you had a, not other than a hairdresser or a florist, you now had a doctor out that was gay, that you met a nurse that was gay, you met a teacher or a swim coach or something like that, and it didn't make any difference. And, you know, every gay person that comes out changes three straight person's lives. I heard that somewhere. And I think that had a lot to do with it, too. Do you think the time that Kinsey was writing in the late 40s, early 50s, you know, it didn't seem, you know, the gay and lesbians weren't really politicized. And I think it was easier for him to talk about that fluidity. I think people are afraid of that fluidity now, afraid to admit that they are a little gay. You know, I think it's the stigma with the religious right and stuff like that has made it very difficult to admit that sexuality is fluid. because you want to be just one thing on either side and take sides, take the political side. Because where do bisexuals fit in the gay marriage debate?
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
they don't fit in. They're not represented, because how do you choose, how do you make a relationship that's legal when you're truly bisexual? So it is an interesting problem to have, but it's something that we haven't quite figured that one out yet. We talked about books and Kindles and stuff like that. How do you think 10 years from now, how is your writing going to change?
Oh gosh, I have no idea. You know, I hope it keeps getting better. I think, you know, occasionally I'll go to a bout of thinking, you know, well, I've said everything. I don't have anything else to, write about that I feel passionate enough about writing about. And then a new idea comes to mind. So I think, you know, I'll keep having new ideas and new things to write about. And the culture, it's a very exciting time to be living in the sense of how quickly our culture is changing, right. You know, almost as rapidly as our technology is changing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it will change, but I think it will continue to change.
Well, and also we have to know where the Rainbow Boys are going to have children or not, or how they're going to get how they're going to go through older adulthood.
Well, it's really, it's been tremendously rewarding and surprising, exciting, you know, in terms of the Rainbow books, how attached people have gotten to those characters.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and what's going on? I was so upset when you stopped the trilogy, by the way.
Well, thank you and so many other people. And at the same time, it's sort of like, you know, I wrote them at a time in my life where it's like, that's what I was passionate about. And it's very hard for me to go back there. Uh-huh. And so maybe one day I'll go back to them, but it's like, I just don't see it. Okay. It's funny though, with young people, what I hear more than anything is this sort of sense, they want to know, do they live happily ever after?
I do.
It's like, you know, there's this, I think young people still, it's like they want hope that, you know, they can grow up and be happy, and so they want that for the characters,
right. Well, I want to see the characters like raise children and have a straight child, have a gay. figure that one out, right?
Right.
Yeah, my partner and I have a daughter who's in her late 30s, and she's a lesbian, and she has a daughter, and we just laugh because they're both kind of a little on the butch side, and we only buy the child pink things because we're just waiting for a cheerleader in the family or something like that, or a prom queen. We want one so bad, but you know, it's a whole different dynamic. But I think that's what we want to see. We want to see happy endings. We want to see how the conflicts are, because you know, we've heard about all the conflicts of dating and acceptance and coming out and even you know, an AIDS scare. So we've had all of the not predictable, but the ones that a lot of people have lived through. But it would be great to see how they grow up and see how they deal with adult issues, because they're just charming kids. And I wanted all of my listeners to go out and buy all three books right now. They're still in print. I wanted to make sure that I told you that they're all available on Amazon.
Yeah.
Can you buy them through your website, alexsanchez.com? Are they available through the website, or do you have to go through Amazon? I think you have to go through Amazon. Yeah,
You can get them through. You can get them through my website, at Amazon, at your local bookstore. If right. Your local bookstore doesn't have them, they can order them.
Yeah.
Through Barnes & Noble and BarnesandNoble.com. So basically, anywhere that sells books, then they either have them or they can order them.
I just was in D.C. and I did see your book, the Boyfriends and Girlfriends at Books a Million in DuPont Circle. So it was right there. They had a little stack of them in the window. It was very, very, very surprising. I said, oh, I'm interviewing him Thursday. Yay, yay. I was there last week for Pride. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was really amazing because I've never been, I just, because nobody thinks Books a Million, but they're also a huge company. Okay, I've got a couple more questions. What are you working on right now?
Well, I don't like to talk about projects that I'm actually working on, but I am working on a new manuscript, and again, it focuses on a teenage boy who happens to be Latino. You know, my stories aren't really about being Latino. It's funny, my agent, when you know, she's a straight suburban married mom, and she says when she reads my book, she says, I don't really see them about, they're not about being gay. They're just about young people who happen to be gay,
right?
You know, working through the same sort of issues as other teenagers, you know, in terms of love and friendship and family. So yeah, I am working on a new manuscript.
Good. I want to keep you working. We want to keep you writing. Anybody out there calling in, it's 805-830-8355. Let me see who's in the chat room. Oh, nobody's talking in the chat room. There's eight people there, but they're not talking to me. But I have plenty to say. Okay, you wrote The God Box. Probably more important to talk about today than when it was written. It's about, can you be gay and in love and be a Christian? And that's the question I'm going to ask you. Can you be gay and love and be a Christian?
I don't see why not. It's the book, again, is one of these books that came about because after the Rainbow series, my first books, I started getting emails from young people telling me about their own struggles that they had. You know, like a lot of young people very early on just accepted they were gay. The issue for them was not being gay. It was could they be gay and Christian? And the conflict that they saw between what their churches were telling them and what they knew they were. And just going through these, you know, horrible internal spiritual struggles. And then I thought back to, even though I was not raised in any sort of a fundamentalist or evangelical family, I came from a very sort of marginally Catholic family, that, you know, I had my own struggles with, well, but, you know, can I believe in God and still be gay? Because of things that, you know, the church is saying.
Right.
And so I thought about my own experience. And again, you know, my writing is a combination of my own story and hearing other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided this was an important book to write. And again, part of what, you know, what's so gratifying and rewarding about writing for and about teenagers is just the feedback that I get from them about, you know, for a young person, that, you know, as you said earlier, it's sort of like, you know, when they say, you know, your book saved my life or helped me to get through struggles that I was going through, just how it's given me a meaning and purpose in my life that I never imagined. It's just been so rewarding now to be hearing from young people who tell me how reading The God Box has just given them so much peace in their lives. And an ability to move forward and to be happy.
Right, it does. It is very uplifting. And you're right. It should be nothing exclusive about Christianity that somebody can't be a Christian and gay or a Christian and any sort of another person. And it has it again is a, there is a Hispanic young man in there, isn't there? Isn't there a Hispanic in The God Box, Manuel?
Yep. Yep, actually both of them, actually both of the boys.
Again,
one of these stories where, like so many people, like me, you know, just happen to be Latino.
Right.
That's not what the book is about, but it's like the power that can have for them, for the
right.
Latino leaders.
Right, because there is, you know, a very large percentage of Latinos are very practicing Catholics, and there is a bigger problem in the African American and the Latino community with acceptance right now, and I think it's pretty much it's changing, but it's still there. Anyway, we are about 30 seconds in ready to sign off, and I just want to thank you so much for doing this. I cannot wait to have you back in the Stonewall live and in person for a book reading. We hope we can do that sometime next year when you're back on the planet. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you so much, Nate. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
It's always a pleasure to see you. And good night from Fort Lauderdale. Good night, all.
All right. Good night. Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.